Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Episcopal prophet and theologian Verna Dozier once remarked, "With Jesus' baptism, his ministry commenced." In the Gospel of Mark, in which we will spend the majority of this coming year, truer words have never been spoken. There is no birth narrative or poetic prologue, no annunciation or magnificat, no shepherds, no magi, no boy Jesus in the temple. It begins simply the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it doesn't slow down from there. In chapter 1, much of which we've read so far this Epiphany tide, we see John the Baptizer preparing the way and baptizing Jesus, Jesus being driven into the wilderness and facing temptation. His return from the wilderness, an immediate creation of community with the calling of the disciples. The exorcism of a man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue and the healing of a woman in her home. Jesus then sets out to travel, to teach, preach. And finally, the chapter ends with another healing and the cleansing of a leper. In this one short, action-packed chapter, we find an encapsulation of how it is to live a life of faith. That life of faith is rooted in baptism. It contains times of wilderness and temptation that would turn us away from God. It includes making community, always community. And it tells us the work we are given to do, to serve the world through teaching and healing. In today's passage, the action has moved from the exorcising of the demon in the synagogue we read about last week directly into the home of the mother-in-law of Simon. We are told she was in bed with a fever, what unfolds next shows us the centrality of healing, wholeness, and serving to this life of faith. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. There's so much actually going on in those two little sentences. The verb used in Greek for lifted her up is the same one that is used in chapter 16 when it talks about Jesus' resurrection. Think about that for a second. Here, it's used in the context of Jesus' understanding of illness. He rejected the social norm of his day in which said that sickness was a punishment, God's punishment for sin. Instead, he understood illness as unwholeness, and therefore healing as the bringing about of wholeness. Just as the unclean spirit left the man in the synagogue, we are told that the fever left this woman. In touching Simon's mother-in-law and lifting her up, Jesus restored not only her health to wholeness, but her entire being. And what did she do? She immediately began to serve. Jesus did not command her to serve. He didn't even ask her to serve. No, it was this unnamed woman who interpreted the gift that had been given to her to be one of ministry. And so it was that she began serving the Lord and the gathered community. You might say she was the first deacon. Because Simon and the other disciples wouldn't fully understand Jesus' call to live lives of service and healing until after Easter. But she got it, and because of her, we can recognize that service is gospel work. Healing, wholeness, and service. A preacher could preach many sermons about any one of these themes, but there's something unique about the way that they are woven together in our story today, and the fact that this story happens where it does in the first chapter of Mark. Today's healing, today's being made whole, and the service it spawns only happens after community has been made. Jesus was only in the home of Peter's mother-in-law because Peter had become a part of the community of Jesus' first disciples. As humans, we are programmed practically to live in community. And as one healer has written, community is essential to the healing process. He writes, God's grace through community involves something far greater than other people's support and perspective. The power of grace is nowhere near as brilliant nor as mystical as in communities of faith. Its power includes not just love that comes from people and through people, but love that pours forth among people as if through the very spaces between one person and the next. Just to be in such an atmosphere is to be bathed in healing power. I would amend this true and keen observation a bit to say that healthy communities are healing communities. Communities like St. James, where there are norms and boundaries and expectations for how we treat one another, and where we hold ourselves and each other accountable to them. Communities like ours can be a beacon of healing for those in need. But just as importantly, we, like Simon's mother-in-law, are called to serve from our wholeness. Service can and does mean taking care of one another here and our building, but it also means taking that servant's entrance out into the world and serving there. And in fact, that's where most of our serving should and does happen. Your service might be through your work, whether you're a nurse or a payroll manager or a grandparent who helps take care of grandchildren. Your service may be through the ways that you volunteer in our community. Your service may be by keeping an eye out for your friends at school or your neighbors around home. But service is also about what we do together, not simply as individuals. And this is an area that I hope we can grow at St. James. So think about it. What service opportunities do we currently offer in our community? Hit me with them. Throw them out there. Thrift shop. You can serve at the thrift shop, definitely. You can make visits to Pleasant View Nursing Home. Mm-hmm. Breakfast in a bag? I'm sorry?
We hold services in
Sunday school. We do. For anybody who wants to come. Yep. We have a service trip coming up to Appalachia in July. Sorry?
Crop.
Sure. Raising money through Crop Walk. There are so many ways that this community, this healthy and whole community, does serve. And I want to challenge us to not just serve by bringing things here and sending one or two people out into the world to take them, but us to gather here as a group and leave as a group to serve in new ways out in the world. So what ideas do you have? Where does your passion meet the needs of the world, and how can we gather around that? How can we lift up the health and wholeness of St. James and bring it in service out these doors and out into the world? My prayer is that this Spirit of God that brings healing for all of us will continue to embrace us, will lift us up, will awaken us to our wholeness, and then send us out into the world so that we might do the same. Amen.